Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
That was a moment for Garrett Cole when he was talking with the media, but the bigger moment was what happened when he did face Josh Donaldson mano a mano on the field last night in Minnesota. The Yankees beat the Twins 9-6, but Garrett Cole was the starter. And, you know, Josh Donaldson was the guy that called out, this is about a week ago, called out when they were talking about, you know, the spider tack and all the different things that pitchers are using to get better grip on the baseball. And Donaldson was the one who named Garrett Cole by name. So it became like, okay, what's going to happen now when Garrett Cole faces Donaldson in the game last night? Well, what did he do? Struck him out, stared him down. Next time, struck him out, stared him down. There was some talk of would he throw at him, would he hit him, would he send a message that way. He sent the message a different way by striking him out. And Garrett Cole, after the game, was asked if there was a little more satisfaction in those strikeouts.
You know, he's a former MVP, big cog in the lineup, two-hole, important spot for us to, you know, really try to attack and, you know, keep neutralized if we want to keep runs off the board. So, you know, just the satisfaction of executing those pitches in that spot, put our team in a better position to win, was enough.
That was enough. The satisfaction was enough. Josh Donaldson, after the game, asked if he regretted making those comments about Garrett Cole.
No, I don't regret anything that I've said. I mean, first off, when I say something, it's been thought through before. It's not just something on a whim. I would say this. With Garrett Cole, he was the first guy to pitch since the suspensions had happened, and he's the first guy that you could see spin rates going down. Since that, we're going off an interview that was done, 4 or 5 days ago. There's been 12 or more guys already whose spin rates have magically dropped in the last week. So it's not just Garrett Cole. First off, I want to get that out.
Wanted to clear that. But still, for Cole, he threw 4 of his 6 fastest pitches of the season, and 2 of those fastballs were 100.4 and 100.2, and they were both to Donaldson. Clearly, a little something behind those pitches. I mean, that's the best revenge, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Throwing at him,
expected, right? Thing.
Yeah.
Why would you throw at him, right? I mean, it's just...
Well, that's a baseball thing.
Yeah, but the baseball things are stupid, and you know that. All these unwritten rules and all that. Just
all right.
Go out there and take care of business like he did when he got on the mound, fanning twice, out. See you later.
And the stare down.
The stare down. That's the part each time, though. The strikeout, but the stare downs after each
one.
That's
so funny, though. You can stare me down and strike me out, but I can't trot. If I trot around the bases, I got to run. If I run... Yeah, I don't run fast enough is a problem. If I walk, it's like baseball just
a little whatever. Confusing.
Yeah.
I'm with you,
yeah.
Man.
But you like it when it's a little aggressive like this. And, you know, you asked me a question of you know, like power rank the people I've worked with, right?
Yeah.
One of the guys
no,
be at
he
the
asked
very,
you, actually. I asked you.
One of the guys be at the very top of this list. This guy's joining us right now, Rick DiPietro, host of DCR and ESPN 98.7 FM in New York, a former number one pick. Now we got another number one pick now joining us on the show right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Goalie for the New York Islanders, and we will get to them in a moment. But Rico, also a huge baseball fan. So, Rick, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Were you satisfied with the stare down more than maybe a brush back or even hitting Josh Donaldson with the pitch?
If it was me personally, and you know me well enough, I'm probably going to throw at Donaldson.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, why is my name the first name out of your mouth? And you know what the best part of this is? Having worked on, you know, the executive committee with the union, they got a collective bargaining agreement coming up. You don't think the owners are loving every second of this right now? Players going after players? They'd love every minute of it. But he did exactly what I expected him to do. That's not who Garrett Cole is. I actually thought if anyone was going to hit Donaldson, it would have been at the end of the game. Donaldson actually made the last out, and it was Brooks Kreske, and he was struggling in that moment to get me out of here. I would have been the hero, and I would have hit Donaldson if I was him.
Do that for your fellow pitcher. No doubt about that. But it's this thing like Key was just talking about, the unwritten rules of baseball, and that is something that, and we'll get into what Pete Alonso said in a little bit here, but the fact that pitchers say, well, we need that extra, you know, grip on the baseball so we can get control of it, but clearly once you now have that ability to bend a rule, you'll bend it as far as you can.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, though. I mean, the problem with the unwritten rules, and this is funny because it's actually one of the written rules. I mean, it's a rule with the foreign substances, but it was kind of the wink, wink, as long as it's just, you know, maybe pine tar, some you know, suntan lotion and some rosin, we're okay with it. But now we're at a point with the spider tack and everything else that, you know, pitchers have weaponized it. And it's already hard enough to hit. and we spend all this time, you know, talking about how boring baseball is and everything else. I blame the league, though, Alan. I mean, part of this, like, what was – they were using this stuff back in 2019 when you couldn't keep the ball in the park. But now all of a sudden, because Major League Baseball decided to – they wanted to limit home runs, so they're going to deaden the ball and make it lighter, that now it's a big issue. Well, of course it's a big issue. You got a lighter ball, and they're still using the sticky stuff, and no one can hit, and everyone's striking out and everything else. So, again, this is one of those typical Major League Baseball things where they can't get out of their own way. Their instant replay stinks. Like, it's just – they – and they're so reactive with all this stuff. For a sport that I love, probably more than the sport I played, some of this stuff is really disheartening.
Yeah, they got to get out in front of it. Speaking of the sport you played, the headshot we're using for you, again, is the Buddy
Christ.
It's awful.
It's
Buddy
Christ. Come on, man.
I don't know where we go to Buddy Christ.
The hair is beautiful, Rick. It's beautiful.
No, that's a quit on life pitch right there.
Yeah, was that the last season? Was that your last season in the league?
I don't even remember, Alan. All I know is, Alan, you know this, me and you working together. How many photo shoots did we do in that closet with Jeff Scopin? Like 50 of them? I can't get an updated photo?
So I used to host a show with Rick. 5 years ago, we started doing a show together in New York, and it was so many of those headshots that we would end up doing or those show shots that we would do in New York, and they never seemed to wind up anywhere. Instead, they dig up the what's now 11-year-old photo of Buddy Christ, Rick DiPietro.
Yeah, and I used to joke, too. They asked me, like, why do you look like this? I'm like, well, if the Islanders are going to eventually win a cup, it's going to take Jesus, so I might as well look like him.
Speaking of which, the Islanders get that win last night at the Coliseum. You've played in that building when, you know, obviously the crowd's going crazy. They're chanting your name, used to chant your name. You've played in the playoffs there. But what is that atmosphere like, especially coming out of a pandemic? And really, is it the reason why the Islanders have had such great success at home this season?
And I need to notice, Rick, because – Alan's going to take me and Key to
a
game.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the game last night. I watched how incredible it was in the second period. So I'm pumped up about it. But I need you to provide color, please, about what my experience is going to be like.
Okay. So I'll preface it by saying this is you're going to get the updated version of the barn. They put a little bit of lipstick on a pig because when I played there, and Alan's right, like there were times I'll never forget, there was that series against Toronto. It was actually early on in my career. I got called up, and it was me and Trent Hunter, and we were sitting in the press box. Alan was in the press box with us, and he'll remember this. Sean Bates scores that penalty shot goal against Curtis Joseph. Yeah. I legitimately thought the press box was going to collapse on itself. Like, the building shakes like that. When you play in the postseason, and I can't even imagine now because, you know, fans are, you know, out of the house with the pandemic and everything else, you could feel it. Like, you could feel it as you're sitting in the locker room, like, just after you got done chasing away the roaches with a blowtorch because the place is that – I mean, it was that gross. But, I mean, to Alan's point, and you guys will see this because, Key, Jay, you know this. Like, at home when you have that crowd, it's so much easier to bring that focus, bring that intensity. And then when you do get the momentum, to ride that momentum, it's a special place to play.
Mm. So they'll face the Lightning again. What do they have to do to get over the hump this year against the defending champs?
They got to stay out of the penalty box. Tampa's power play is stupid good. It's ridiculous. They got tons of top-tier talent. They got Kucherov back, who a guy doesn't even play a game in the regular season.
Amazing.
And he comes back, and he's already got 18 points, so he's dominating. They got, you know, points, Stamkos. They got the best goalie in the league. They got the best defenseman in the league. So they got their hands full. But, I mean, they're hitting their stride at the right time. Guys have stepped up. Palmieri, who they brought in at the trade deadline, he's been huge for them. Brock Nelson had another great game last night. So it's going to be tough, but I think if they can play physical, may make it tough, that they'll have a chance.
Look, Rick, your co-host, Chris Canty, had this market madness thing going on he introduced to us. But he picked Jacob deGrom as the top guy to get a table here in the city of New York. Mm. DeGrom is, lost to Baker Mayfield yesterday. Didn't quite, you know, meet expectations in their region of the market madness matchup. Why would Canty pick Jacob deGrom?
Because he doesn't know how to play the game right. That was not the game. It's not who's the best player. And, oh, by the way, I heard you guys talking about Cole and the 100 miles an hour and everything else. Just let me put into context what Garrett Cole did last night and how much different Jacob deGrom is. So Cole last night threw 4 pitches, 100 miles an hour. So that's 9 pitches in the season. Jacob deGrom's last start against San Diego, he threw 33 pitches, 100-plus miles an hour.
It's insane. Yeah, what he's doing.
But no, you guys, listen. I listen to the show all the time with you guys because you know how much I love you guys, and I especially love Alan. Like, no, top of that list is, you know, KD's on that top of that list. Mm-hmm. Harden's on the top of that list. Judge is on the top of that list. Those guys, I mean, star-wise, celebrity-wise, those guys are going to get tables at a club. Hell, when I played with the Islanders, we couldn't even get into a club in the city with a rookie party. They're like, how much money you guys got? We're like, no, we're the Islanders. They're like, no, we need some money.
That actually is a true story. Rico, we got to run. Leave it right there. Thanks for joining us, my man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Fellas.
All right, Rick DiPietro, again, former New York Islanders goaltender, and the Islanders moving on to the semifinals for the Stanley Cup playoffs for the second straight year. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Indeed. If you're hiring this summer, you need Indeed. With Indeed Instant Match, just post a sponsored job, and you'll immediately get a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. So we move into the world of college basketball. And
John Shire.
A major change happening at one of the biggest programs, if not maybe the biggest program in college basketball. Mike Krzyzewski will step down after this coming season, and John Shire will take over the program after that. And John joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, John. Well, those are big shoes to fill. Having a year to do it, will that help? Or would you rather just dive right into the job right now?
Well, I think the year helps a lot. And, you know, obviously you get a chance to look at the program a little bit differently. The fact, you know, it's you're going to take over as head coach after the year to do this with Coach K in this way. Obviously, you're focused on the season to have a special year to end it the right way. But I would much rather do it this way. I think it's a really once in a lifetime kind of succession. And the way we're going about it, we feel it's built for success.
What's up, Johnny? How you doing, man?
What's up, man? Great to be with you.
You too, brother. You know, you and I got a chance to talk after this whole thing went down, and I'm curious. Has it settled in what this year is going to be like? Because this year is going to feel like a movie.
It really is, and I don't think it has settled in fully. You know, getting a chance, we got our freshmen here this past week, and we have some of the team here. And just talking with them, you go from last year where you're playing in an empty arena, right in Cameron Indoor, which is, that felt like a movie in a different kind of way, by the way. But this year, it's every game is going to be electric, you know, and no matter what coach says with wanting it to be, look, it's about the team, first and foremost, but I can tell you every single guy in that locker room, whether it be a coach or whether it be any of our players, we want to make sure we send them off the right way. So there's going to be a lot of motivation. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm sure we'll see some amazing crowds and environments along the way.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Plus the paparazzi is going to be all over you guys 24/7. It'll be interesting to see. How are you going to balance, John? You guys need the next tier recruits, right? And I like the way that you guys have kind of built this succession plan out. How do you balance your on-the-bench responsibility compared to you being on the road to secure who the next class or classes will become?
Well, it's a little bit of a fine line, right? I mean, there's you're doing two jobs at once, which is you're kind of doing that anyway, to be honest with you. But first and foremost, it's about this year. You know, we're all in on this season. We're all about winning a championship this year. But also, like, I'll be on the road. You can do both, and just like if I was a head coach. And it's a little unique, the fact that, look, I know it's as we're recruiting, I don't have 41 years to look at or this season to look at how I'm coaching the team. But recruiting is about relationships. It's about building trust, as you know, Jay. And I'm looking forward to doing that.
Coach, how are you going to put your own stamp on the program, knowing you are following a living legend that is still currently on the sidelines with you, but also most likely you'll be in the stands during your first year with Duke?
Yeah, Keyshawn, I think it's something I'm trying to figure out. You know, I already know I'm not Coach K, right? I think that's – I got a leg up in that aspect. I'm not trying to be him. You know, he's one of one. He's one of a kind. I do feel that I'm also I don't feel I have to prove that I'm different than him in any way. I'm not going to just do something just to do it. I'm going to follow my instincts fully. Whatever that means, it means. But, you know, as I go into this job, the conversations I've had with Coach, as we make this transition, I'm just going to follow my instincts. As simple as that sounds, I think it's probably easier said than done. You know, he's done it. He's built this program up in such an amazing way. It's hard not to think about, all right, well, what would Coach do in this situation? What would he be thinking? And I've made a pact to myself, made a promise. I'm going to follow my instincts and go ahead and do that.
John, when you take the mantle and you're the next head coach at Duke University, Coach K will still be around the organization a ton, still have his office on the fifth floor. How do you plan on managing that aspect of it with him still being close to the program?
Well, he'll be on the sixth floor, by the way. So we're in the fifth.
That's right, sixth floor. Sorry, one floor up.
Yeah, he's up here. No, but look, it's going to be having him in house as a resource is a great. It's a great resource to have, right? I mean, I think there's nothing other than a positive about it. And the thing that we're going to have to figure out is, you know, Coach, I don't know what's going to happen during games. You know, where is he? What's he doing? And we're going to have to work together on that. But in all seriousness, I think if any coach in the country could have Coach K at their disposal as a resource, whatever that may mean, you know, you go through some tough times as a coach, and to have him in my corner is going to be really helpful. And I promise you I'm going to take him up as long as he's open to it, picking his brain from time to time.
John, there's a new landscape in college basketball, college sports in general. There's the thing called the portal and transferring in, transferring out. How are you going to handle the portal in terms of guys leaving or in terms of guys looking for a landing spot?
Yeah, well, look, the college game has definitely changed since back in the day when Jay used to play, and since also back in the day when I used to play.
I was going to say, okay, but, all right, good.
Yeah, I'm fair.
Way back,
but yours was really back in the day, just so we're clear. But you know, look, I think the most important thing is to take care of your players that are here. You know, and the amount of transfers we've seen this year is, you know, been the most ever. We need to continue to adapt to make sure we take care of our players first and foremost. And you know, look, there are some really great players out there. We're open in the portal. We've done it less than anybody. That would be our plan moving forward. But for the right thing, obviously we'll look to any way to acquire, you know, someone who's really talented and belongs at Duke University. So I can't give you a straight answer because there's a lot of moving parts. You know, you look at what's happened, you know, with the G League last couple of years and, you know, some competing leagues. We're going to continue to adapt. And I think no matter what, the right kids will still come to Duke University. No matter what the competing leagues and other opportunities are, we really believe we can find the right kids that belong at Duke.
John Shire joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, the future men's head basketball coach at Duke. That's after the coming season, so the coach in waiting, as they put it. One thing that Coach K said was that you're going to need to obviously add to your coaching staff, get an assistant. Are you looking for an experienced assistant, somebody that's got the recruiting connections or whatever you might need on the bench? Or would it be someone like, I don't know, maybe Jay Will,
Stop.
Who doesn't have coaching experience but obviously has that kind of background and a cachet with recruits?
Jay, what do you think?
Here we go. Let's put me on something like that. I'm over here just doing my job,
John. Negotiate.
I'm just doing my job.
You know, fortunately, I have the year to figure that out. I'm going to, you know, I know we can get someone that's really capable and, you know, a terrific coach. But, Jay, I'll circle back with you in April. Does that sound good?
It does sound good, John. Hey, I do want to ask you this, man. You know, being from Illinois, playing basketball in that state, you and Coach have a very special bond. Did you ever think you would be the next head coach of Duke?
To be honest with you, no. I mean, if you know, the way this has all worked out, this isn't necessarily – this wasn't the plan. And things happen, things change. I mean, what you went through with, you know, with your injury and accident, and I had it in a much different way. But sometimes things happen in life that put you in a position. I'm incredibly grateful for it. There's some, you know, unique connections. The fact that Coach was 33 when he got this job, so am I. Being from Illinois, he likes to remind me that I'm the suburb guy. He's a city guy. But we still have those connections. And, you know, I'm incredibly grateful. I think, you know, in the past week, just as this is all unfolded, you look back in the moments throughout your life and also the past few years where things just happen to line up. And you got to be ready, obviously, and just fortunate for the way it all went down and happened.
Awesome, brother.
John, did you have, though, an indication? Like, was, like, before the news got out? I mean, obviously, there was, I'm sure, conversations right before. But did you get – was it even a feeling during the year? Was it something you had in the back of your mind?
No. You know, during the year, the focus really was on, one, the season. But then when the season ended, you know, I interviewed for other jobs. And other schools had reached out to me and was pursuing that. And my decision-making process at the time of those decisions – Duke didn't have, it wasn't, no thought in the back of my mind was, am I going to get the Duke job 2 months from now? that wasn't a thing. And so, things have a funny way of working out. Coach's timing, the opportunity, going through the interview process. And I'm glad things worked out the way they did, and I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's quite the story.
Congratulations. All right,
John, well, yes, congratulations, and certainly good luck to you going forward. And I don't know, we'll have to negotiate whether we'll let Jay go back to Duke to join you.
I already have a home and gun, man. That's already said.
All the best.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, brother.
All right, John Shire. Congrats, John. Good year hotline, and certainly good luck to him. All right, so getting back to the baseball conversation. He could, though.
It's too hard.
You ever see him on NBA Countdown breaking it down on the board?
I'm cool.
I mean,
we're good.
He could coach. He'd get nervous, start sweating, time out, mess up.
Recruiting would probably be the one area I wonder how you would deal with. Recruiting. Because you, like, if somebody just said to you, know, hey, Jay, you know, thank you, but I'm going to go to I'm
he'll
going
do
to
it the right way.
You would lose it.
No, he wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
He would,
no?
He would just.
I would pivot and quickly take come back at you a different way.
He would just take it up a notch.
Take it up a notch?
Yeah.
You mean put a little more in the bag? Put a little
more
in the bag?
Here's what I need you to do for me.
Key, look, I need – look, Key, I need you at the FBO.
Your guy at
Adidas. I have the plane ready.
College basketball.
This bag's a little too light. We need to fill this bag up a little bit more. Right. Back to the baseball conversation. So they didn't call them the Nasty Boys for no reason. You remember them back in the day in the 90s? Mm. How nasty would it get if one of the Nasty Boys was facing Josh Donaldson last night? So we'll find out next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and ESPN News.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Spider-Tack has become something we talk about now in baseball. But using substances to grip the baseball better has been something, as Garrett Cole did awkwardly explain the other day, just something that has been going on in the sport forever.
Yes.
So let's bring in a pitcher
cheating.
Who would know, Rob Dibble, part of the Nasty Boys from the Cincinnati Reds, 1990 World Series champion, two-time All-Star as well, and host of the Rob Dibble Show on 97.9 ESPN Hartford. Rob, good morning. So I want, before we get to anything, I want you to react to something that Michael Kay said yesterday on his show in New York City about what he would have done last night if he was Garrett Cole.
I'll tell you what Michael Kay, the player, would do, and it's, I'm not advocating, please don't think I'm advocating for it, but I think Chris Carlin said at the end of the show yesterday with us, Josh Donaldson's getting one right in the ribs for opening his mouth. Well, why are you jumping me? Even Cole said that was low-hanging fruit. Because he's the guy with the big contract. He's getting one right in the ribs in the first inning. Right in the ribs. You want to talk? Try talking with a broken rib.
All right, Kay is the voice of the Yankees, of course, for the YES Network. So, Dibs, how would you have handled that situation last night?
Well, that was a little excessive by Michael. So, But, you know, Garrett did exactly what he should do against Donaldson, strike him out and give him 0-for-3 and send him back to the dugout dragging his bat. I mean, I think it's laughable. I watched the game. Cole was throwing in the sixth inning 100 miles an hour. His knuckle curve was unhittable. And he doesn't need spider tack to destroy these guys. And I think it's laughable that anybody thinks putting a little sticky stuff on your hand is going to make you more accurate or more precise. Yeah, it'll give you a better spin rate, but you still got to pitch. You still got to throw a strike in the strike zone, and the strike zone is as small as it's ever been. So, I mean, what Josh Donaldson said was hot garbage. What these writers are writing about is hot garbage. And, you know, I run a program where I have 5 travel teams. I have about 60 pitchers, and I have enough trouble trying to get them to throw it over the plate. So, you know, the analytics people are destroying the game because they're forgetting the easy analytics. Let me give you quick numbers. First pitch strike, 7 out of 10 times you get an out. 0-2 count, 9 out of 10 times you get an out. And I'm going to give you this stat about Mike Trout. Mike Trout, greatest hitter in our game today, hitting .333 for his career. If you get him 0-2, he hits .182. Wow. You get him 1-2, he's hitting .191. Mm. If you're behind him 2-0, he hits .487.
Wow.
So it's guys, it's about strike throwing and accuracy. And writers can sit here and try and blow smoke up the owner's butts all day. But, guys, this is more about the collective bargaining agreement and trying to separate the union. I was a player rep. This is all crap by the owners. You know what we're not talking about? Moving the All-Star game. We're not talking about the Astros cheating. We're not talking about any of that crap. Now we're going to pick on the pitchers? So, to me, this is just all a bunch of crap.
So, Rob, how much more leverage does this give the owners in that negotiation?
The owners have no real power, and neither does Rob Manfred, and he knows it. What they pulled last year when they should have played 100 games, there's a lawsuit right now for $500 million for back pay by the Players Association because, they didn't negotiate in good faith. They never do. And this is exactly what they're trying to pull here with this newest, oh, we're going to leak this out. Yeah, how many guys are actually using some kind of substance? A handful? And then you have guys coming out saying 70%, 80%. Show me. Show me the video. Show me the guys cheating. Because I'm going to tell you right now, guys, they're not good at it. There's a bunch of pitchers that stink in the major leagues, and they shouldn't even be there. We got 13 pitchers on every major league staff. That's just ridiculous. So, I honestly, cut down the rosters to 22. How about thinking about that? Maybe make pitchers go deeper into games. So, to me, this is just a lot of to-do about nothing.
Dibs, Garrett Cole kind of, sort of in a roundabout way, mentioned a day or so ago that these sort of things have been in baseball, kind of handed down from the Rob Dibbles of the world, kind of, sort of, that, you know, so we kind of keeping it going. Is there anything to that? Now, he didn't mention your name clearly.
I'm not going to lie to you. There's totally stuff to that because, listen, and I'm not going to whine about it because they did it even in my day. They've made the ballers smaller. They've compressed the seams. They've made it hard. And I was even thinking before I was going to come on here, because I know Key and Jay, you guys are thinking about this. How about, Key, if we took the laces off of foot?
See, you said that, and we lost you. I think we lost him.
I think we lost him.
Wow. Yeah.
They cut his line.
I get where he was going.
He started attacking
you
football.
Take the laces off the football. No. You see what he was saying, though. Seams off the
what
basketball.
If they did that? Would it be harder for would it be tougher for a quarterback to throw it?
Some quarterbacks don't even throw with
don't
the laces.
Don't even use the laces? Yeah, okay, but see, but
the
most
seams
do.
In basketball, most players do shoot. They find, I mean, it's the first thing I do when I pass you the ball. You find the seams.
You find that seam on the basketball as well. It would be a lot harder to do. And I think that's the point he's making is that they lowered the seams. It's something that Pete Alonso talked about, that he feels like they were doing that.
Yeah, the seams were raised before, and you could actually really feel
get a little
them
grip
get
on
a,
it.
Get a grip on it.
And then they whatever happened in production, the manufacturing of the baseball, the seams were lowered, the ball flies, the home runs were hit. So Alonzo's suggesting that they changed the ball based on your free agent class.
Yeah, once
to keep the finances down.
Once the seams are even with the actual ball, it's harder to grip.
Right.
Because it becomes slick. When you got the seams raised, you can put you can kind of grab it and rip it.
I mean, what Alonzo said is jarring. Like, and that sounds like a conspiracy that he stuck to it. In fact, all right, well, you do have the sound. Here's Pete Alonso. This is the first baseman of the Mets, who's a terrific player and actually a really good interview. And he was saying beyond the sticky – no, no. I don't care if the pitchers are using this stuff. He took it a step further about an issue, a bigger issue for baseball. Take a listen to this.
I don't want 99 slipping out of someone's hand because they didn't have enough feel for it. I think that the biggest concern is that Major League Baseball manipulates the baseballs year in and year out depending on the free agency class or guys being in an advanced part of their arbitration. So I do think that's a big issue, the ball being different every single year.
How about that? Wow. That, I mean, that's quite a suggestion that you've got owners sitting in a room deciding, well, we've got to keep the numbers down. We have all these pitchers available in free agency. Let's make sure that they don't have these big years and big numbers. And then it's now we got all these big hitters that are going to come up in free agency or arbitration. Let's make sure the pitchers have the advantage this time so their numbers are down. Because it's a numbers-based sport, and your money and what you make, especially because of arbitration, is absolutely based on that. We have Rob Dibble
can
back.
Can I say something before we have
– yeah, go ahead, Jay.
It feels like baseball is just a complete blank show.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's a complete blank show.
Yeah, it doesn't feel –
we're not,
it
like,
is.
Celebrating the game or talking about – great. Like, it's every story that comes out around baseball is about how baseball is screwed up.
It's why owners and players – why that's one league where it's just they never, ever get along. We have Dibs back, so thanks for joining us again. Did you hear what Pete Alonso said? And I'd like to get your reaction to that.
I did. It's 100% correct. How about this? Major League Baseball buys Rawlings in 2018. Major League Baseball owns the baseball company.
The manufacturer.
So they can manipulate the balls any way they want. But I don't even think about that. I love what you guys just said. We should be celebrating these guys. These, you know, Nick Castellanos is having a great season with Cincinnati. Winker's having a great season. You got a bunch of 23-year-old guys that are close to 20 home runs right now. So you essentially have some of the greatest stars in baseball. How about this? How about the commissioner saying Mike Trout should promote himself? Could you imagine if the NBA didn't promote LeBron James? Can you imagine
if the
NFL didn't promote its stars? It's right. Crazy. It's crazy. They need a new commissioner. They need it as fast as possible. And it's just, it's awful. So there's so many great stars in baseball right now. And I agree with you guys. We should not be talking about the negative side of it.
Rob, can you go back to that analogy that you were just about to draw for us where you said, Key, imagine if, you know, or a basketball.
You take the laces,
take
off,
the laces off the football.
Right.
They're sending them off the basketball.
Yeah, it's because it's with baseballs. About 25 years ago, they started making the seams almost non-existent on a baseball. So there's really nothing you can do to grip it. So if anybody watched me during my career, what I would do behind the mound, I would squeeze and compress the balls to raise the seams up. My teammate Norm Charlton would use his fingernails to raise the seams up. They don't even give you a good ball to work with. You know, here's another thing people may not realize. They rub mud on the ball before the game. They call it Mississippi mud. It's in a can. And they rub it on the ball. Why? Because it's a slick substance that's hard to grip. So, you know, to me, I had to rub that crap off of there just so I could grab the ball and try to get a seam. Honestly, to me, it's not easy to pitch. I'm very passionate about it. I couldn't throw a good breaking ball until I was 22. I could always throw hard and accurate. Once I got a breaking ball, 2 years later, I'm in the major league. So don't diminish what pitchers do by trying to say putting some tackiness on your finger makes you a major league pitcher. That's just It's disturbing to me.
It's amazing, this sport and the controversies it has, and it rarely has to do with what actually is going on the field. Dibs, we appreciate your time. This was great insight. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dibs. Appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Have a great morning.
And Rob Dibble again.
Great insight.
Won a World Series with the Reds, two-time All-Star, and now hosts Rob Dibble's show on 97.9 ESPN Hartford. That was terrific stuff. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, as Dibble just did. By the way, commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Coming up next, let's play some fill in the blank, and we'll find out if USC is finally going to go to the CFP. That is next.
But first,
is there a first? There's no,
no
first.
He's just messing with you.
Yeah.
Don't
all
stop
that is coming up
listening
next
to him.
KJZ, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check.
Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
All right, KJZ, we do some fill in the blank. It's brought to you by attorneys Cordell and Cordell. Gosh. Fair divorce for men.
Fair divorce.
1-866-DADS-LAW. Evan, take it away.
Yeah, this is actually Jay's idea. So I'm gonna suggest this one. This will be first up in fill in the blank. The Jay NFL player that will have a Trey Young like breakout season this year is blank. Jay, you go first. Your idea.
This year?
Yeah.
A Trae Young-like breakout?
Yeah, okay. I was just trying
to put it all together. So this, yeah, okay, go.
I'm going to go with my New York love here. It's wishful thinking.
Uh-oh.
Danny Dimes.
All of a sudden, the legs, the arm, it's all going to come together.
He's going to be healthy. You got all the pieces that you need. Saquon, you got Kenny Galladay, you got the wide receiver core, you got different tight ends.
He's the fastest player on the team.
I mean, you got the pieces there.
Not stumble.
Right. That was an amazing highlight, wasn't it? Like he got to like 22 miles an hour and then fell.
Tracked by whatever statistics or whatever they call it.
Right,
analytics,
no, I know.
Or whatever.
All right, so Danny Dimes is your guy. You have a young breakout player that's about to, like, we're going to be talking about him by the end of the season.
Sam Darnold.
Sam.
I think Sam, when you get Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson, and those guys down there, I think you got to think Sam. He's going to have such an amazing season that the Jets fans are going to go nuts. They're going to start rooting for the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Why do you look like that?
No, I like it.
Alan, do you have one? Or?
I don't have one. Okay, no, because those I would have to think
great.
Twice about
said
it.
Great.
All right, let's move on. The Nets would rather play the blank in the Eastern Conference Finals. Alan, you got one there?
Hawks.
They would like to play the Hawks.
If you're Nets, you'd much rather play the Hawks than play the 76ers.
Really?
Yeah, I think the 76ers match up great versus them defensively. And offensively, they can play pretty well. And you have to handle Joel Embiid, which the Nets have no answer for.
And I guess you'd look at the Hawks and think, that's a younger team, hasn't been there, might be too big of a stage for them with those stars.
Hawks, so, yeah, all right. For sure Hawks. Yeah. All right, let's
the
go.
Preseason
Evan.
Is most important to blank NFL player.
The preseason?
This year's preseason. We didn't have one last year.
Is most important to?
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. Yeah, Justin like Fields.
Jordan Love, Justin Fields, Sam Darnold.
Sam, yeah. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of players you can put in that list.
The college football playoffs, did you guys see this? They might expand 10 teams, 12 teams. It's currently 4 teams.
Mm-hmm.
The college football playoff would need blank number of teams for USC to actually make it.
This is
field of 64.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Who asked that question? Who came up with that? That's not nice. Key, what's your answer?
That's not nice, yeah. Key, what's your answer?
What would you need? Field of 12?
I don't think he's playing this game anymore. I think he's taking it. He's checking out. We've lost Key for this segment.
Key's shirt is blank blue.
It's Carolina blue, which was so disrespectful when we brought John Shire
actually
on the
is
show.
It's a Carolina blue shirt.
What was I supposed to wear?
Something other than Adidas?
Just because we had a coach here?
I mean, Duke was a Nike school. Hello.
It's not.
Do we need the college football playoff to be 12?
No.
Apparel on barrel crime.
Do we need to expand the college football playoff beyond 4?
Does it yes, you do.
Yes, of course
it needs to be expanded?
For every team, not just USC. Everybody.
All right, so just taking USC out of the equation, just in all reality, though, what should it be? Should it be 8?
Man, I'd take that thing to 16.
You would really put that much into it. So you'd have to start the season sooner or have a shorter season?
What do they play, 12 games right now?
I'd bring it down to
11.
Yeah.
We love tournaments, man. I mean, look what happened with the whole, postseason tournament for the NBA. I mean, we love that.
Now, do you use it because you wouldn't know who the next opponent's going to be? Do you just use the bowl sites? Right? Would you use the bowl sites?
You're getting
as
really in depth right now.
I'm just curious because
you're digging deep.
Well, because you don't know who's next, so you'd have to have availability. That's a lot to do in 1 week's time.
To
set up the next game, whoever you beat and that team won, now you guys got to play here.
Okay,
all that stuff is scheduled in advance.
Hey, make billions of dollars. We can figure it out.
So you give them a bye week. Season's over. There's a bye in between. The people set up their travel arrangements, you go.
That's a lot of time, isn't it?
You have advanced teams that do that. What do you think happens when you are in the NFL and you make the playoffs? You're not sitting around saying, okay, I don't know where my hotel's going to be. I don't know who I'm getting ready to play. No, you figure out,
right,
we're going to play Jacksonville.
I think you misunderstood what I meant.
Potentially, or we're going to play this team.
You misunderstood. So you would have to then designate all of the bowls that you now have, right?
Yes.
That would have to be wiped out, and you use those bowls
and
their sponsors.
Yeah, the bowls is garbage anyway. I mean,
but you use them and say, okay, you're going to be this round, you're going to be this round, and these two teams will play there. So that building, all that's ready, you just don't know who the two teams are.
Yes.
That's the best way to do it. Right? Wouldn't that make sense?
Makes sense.
Then you just rotate that around so everybody gets a chance at having, whether it's a Final Four, whether it's a championship.
Or just go home and away.
You know, you do it that way.
Yeah, you go home and away and you get the best record.
On campus?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
You certainly could do that.
You have a higher seat, you coming to us.
Yeah. You really want to play in the Bahamas Popeye Chicken Bowl?
But that's
nothing wrong with Popeyes.
I'm sorry.
I
it's
like
college
Popeyes.
Football. It's always going to be about Popeyes. The sponsors and the money first, isn't it?
I'm talking about the bowl.
I'm talking about the bowl
on
chicken.
Like December 13th.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. I've always been fascinated about how they could use the bowls and still be able to play
bowls of chicken
a championship. So, hey, the polar bear delivered a message that might send chills through the commissioner's office. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.